Yo, what's going on, everybody? This is a lot louder than I thought it was going to be, so sorry about that, but I'm excited to see all of you guys here for the 4 o'clock session here at the Expo. CIM with Peter Bromka and Matt Chittum. We are Relay, and we're excited to talk to you guys here. Who's racing tomorrow? Awesome. Matt, how's it been over here all day today?
The crowd over here all day has been absolutely fantastic. Saturday at CIM, I always tell people it's almost like going to a high school reunion, but one of those ones where like you almost know everyone's name, but you're afraid to say it because you only know them by their social media handles. So it's a lot of, hey, you, hey, what's going on? But no, so much fun. Again, this is like a family reunion, high school reunion kind of vibe every year on Saturday at CIM, which has always been great. And hey, it's the 40th version of this race, which is really going to be so exciting.
No, very excited to be here. So many friendly faces, so many new faces, and yeah, just feels like its own holiday. It's like how we kick off the month.
Yeah, for sure. And I think what we've seen a lot of the live shows over the past 2 days, you know, yesterday, is, you know, how people can kind of make the most out of their racing experience. And for a lot of people, that often means, you know, making sure you're pacing yourself correctly, but even more so about what to do when things start to get tricky or uncomfortable or difficult. And as important as that can be to everyone's race, whether it's a marathon or something shorter or even for someone longer, I think sometimes we lose sight of enjoying the race for its own purpose and making sure that we get the most out of that experience. And that isn't necessarily related to the time that we run. Mike, you've run as many races as anybody I know. What are some of the ways that, you know, you try to maximize that, or how has that evolved in your life to try to get the most out of experience, even if it's something that you're, you know, trying to get a PR at?
Yeah, I think of it a couple of different ways now that I've been racing for a little while longer. And I always think of it as, let's race to the best of our fitness tomorrow. And the number is going to be what the number ends up being. And trying to outbeat your fitness is never going to work out well. And so, like, figure out what that level of fitness is and ride that. You might surprise yourself time-wise at the end, but if you try to cheat your fitness, the surprise is going to be always in the other direction.
It's so true. Like, shaving, you know, 1 to 3 seconds per mile, you feel like you're being super efficient, but like, it can come back to like basically like a 1 minute hemorrhage of like at like mile 21.
So I'm curious, Mike, you've been all over the world in the past year. Is this the nerdiest race that you go to every year? I say that affectionately.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's got to be, because everyone comes here. It's almost, I mean, you've called it like a business trip or a work trip. And I think that's like a really great way to phrase it, because people come in here. It's changing, but it used to be they came in here for one reason and one reason only, and that is to run to the best of their fitness. And you're surrounded by other people that are trying to do the exact same thing. And so no matter what your pace is in your hometown race, you might be one of a handful of people that could be in that pack. But here, you're going to have a bunch of friends to be able to run in. And we all have the same buildup problems, the same nutrition issues, the same long run issues. We've all been through all the same things together. So even though we don't know each other, we're in that same pace group and we're instantly friends.
Peter, we could ask you the same question. You've been to just as many races.
It's the nerdiest race, and that's why I come back every year. I went to Grandma's 2 years ago. Mike and I met there, and it was a wonderful event. Everyone should go up in Duluth. I would say that it's...
But choose CIM first, right?
CIM. Yeah. Actually, any first-time CIMers in the audience?
Yeah.
Well, tomorrow's going to be wonderful. My favorite thing about CIM is when first-time CIMers ask me questions, I'm like, oh no, the organization of this race takes care of that. Like, they're like, what about the porta potties? I'm like, they got you. What about getting into the corral? Someone was asking about this. You know, Chicago, you might line up and find that 5,000 people who are aiming to run slower than you are somehow in front of you, and it can be a real cluster. Every year I've been out at the start, you see people are like, oh, after you, what are you looking to run? Okay, I'll go over here. And it's just really well, the community shows up and treats each other well. So
you're not joking about the porta potties.
No. I like to do a warm up that goes to the end of the porta potties and back. And by that time, you're warm
And a 10K warm up.
Yeah, it just goes and goes and goes. Sometimes I don't know if they did it this year on social media. They'll just post a video of endless porta potties, and it's supposed to like bring down your blood pressure and put you at ease.
Yeah, I think that the two things that for me was like, oh my gosh, this makes like the race day morning experience so great was, first of all, that, right? No anxiety on that front, which is nice. But also, I told people, like, you can stay on the buses as long as you want. Like, they're heated. They feel great. Again, maybe tomorrow's going to be a little bit warmer than we thought it was going to be maybe 7 days ago when everyone checked the weather. But still, like, low 50s is still a little chilly, right? So staying on the buses is great. You can stay on there for, like, again, we're all going to be there at the starting line, you know, an hour, hour and a half ahead of time. I'm actually not going to be there. I don't know why I phrase it like that. But, you know, metaphorically, I'm there with you. But you can go back in the bus. You can just hang out. And it's really a great experience. I've met a ton of people last year just, like, hanging out on the buses beforehand. I would say if you do that, though, make sure you take your stuff with you, because good luck finding that bus again, because they all look identical. So if you end up going to the porta potties, be like, oh, I'm going to take Matt's advice and go back to my bus. You're probably not going to find that bus, but you can go on any other bus and just, like, you know, marinate in some warm weather, at least for a little bit before the race starts. How about you, Mike? Do you have, like, a go-to tip for people who want to, you know, either enjoy their CIM experience or run to their best ability?
In terms of, like, the first stuff to do in the morning, I like to do everything, like, at the early end of everything. That's just the way I am. I get nervous. I'm the guy that also wants to be at the airport and sitting at the gate like 30 to 45 minutes early for no reason. And so, like, I like to be on the first bus so I can be the first one to use the porta potty. So that way I can be the first one back on the bus and I can be the first one in the corrals. And for me, that, like, helps me calm my nerves to know that I'm here, I'm in the spot I need to be, and I'm not going to have to rush later. So that's my tip.
Yeah, actually, I just want to build on that. I was just speaking with a friend who is going to be running with the elite women's pack, and she's going to be part of that group going for the Olympic trials qualifier. And I was saying to her, you know, we're about 15 hours out. And I think it's an understated strength or skill to control your own anxiety levels and your own heart rate over the next 15 hours. I think people can wind themselves into knots thinking I'm preparing for the race, when in fact you can just be drawing from your own energy stores. And you see it, the people who are able to just be calm, be relaxed, they end up showing up well and running to their fitness.
That's true. And it's not even like the idea of, you know, walking, say you're at New York City, right? Like the trap of walking the city, going to every meetup and all that stuff. Like, obviously that can be exhausting on your legs the day before race, but just the mental energy of, like, Harry, you're just so focused, the mental, emotional energy of, like, so hyper-focused on a race. It really does drain you. It can really just, like, pull you completely out of it. By the time you get to the starting line, like, you can feel like, oh my God, I'm like, I'm already underwater. If you can't just completely dissociate from the experience that's going to happen the next day.
So, speaking of people having bad races, Mike, can you tell us about the shirt that Matt is wearing? There's some backstory.
Matt's wearing the shirt that our friend Tommy, he's Tommy Runs on Instagram, has made. And it's a redemption tour shirt that he made. So he had a bad run a little while ago.
He ran a bad marathon, which happens.
It wasn't even that bad. But he ran what he thought was a bad marathon and decided to motivate himself. He would make a redemption tour t-shirt. So I feel like that takes the redemption race concept to the next level. And Matt's celebrating that today.
It's great. I think we're about to start redemption year number two. For Tommy, is he going to re-redempt?
Yeah, you know, he didn't love his New York result this year either. And so I don't know if he's going to do it again. We'll
see. Like Peter, he has taken a bad race and turned it into a profession.
Oh, man. But, you know, we all have our different ways of motivating ourselves. And that's something that's been working really well for Tommy, because he's been racing really well in other ways. So, you know, to tie it back and make it something more relevant for everyone as we go to bed tonight, like, we all find our ways that we motivate ourselves. And that doesn't really work all that well for me. But if that's something that works well for you, there's nothing wrong with that. And you can always use that as the way to, like, keep yourself in the game late when your body's just screaming at you to stop.
I was curious what it's like to be you on course, because you're recognizable because of the GoPro. Mm-hmm. Is like, what is that? I guess we witness it through the videos that you edit, but what is that experience like with the people coming up to you? It's like, you're not able to, you know, I'm always like, just run your own race to people, like, stay in your own cocoon of safety. And people are like, hey, what's up? How's it going?
It's great. I'm chatty on the long run, and I love a good distraction. And so filming helps me distract myself. But also when I see people on the course and they're saying hi to me, it's another way that I can, it's kind of like an icebreaker, I guess. We can meet, we can talk, we can see like, how are you feeling? What are you looking to do today? And that helps me pass just that, helps me pass another quarter mile, half mile. And, you know, just chunk by chunk, I'm just trying to get through the race any way that I can. And chatting up other people on the race course. I know some people, the hardcore racers, like if you're chatting, you're not racing, but I'm chatting and that's how I race. So I love to do it.
I don't know if anyone has watched his Tokyo video from earlier this year. There was some surreal element of watching it. And I realized it was, we could just hear how hard you were breathing. And it's a relatively quiet race. They're like much more just toned down in their cheering. And so it's just like, I felt very buckled into your like cardiac experience.
That was a hard race. And I couldn't do too much chatting on that one, but also like that was a race that I think has a lot of similarities in a way to this race here, where like New York, Chicago, the energy comes not only from the racers, but from the crowd around you. But in Japan, because of the different culture and the norms in terms of how people cheer, it's not as rowdy of a race. And so the energy, you're really feeling it from your fellow racers. And I feel like that's exactly what you guys are going to experience out there tomorrow. So especially for all you first timers, like just don't let it overwhelm you, but also draw from it and you guys can feed off each other. That's one of the ways you work together. My oldest daughter just started running cross country and I'm that crazy dad on the cross country course. And I'm yelling at these, you know, 11-year-olds like work together and like, I don't know if they know what that means. But if you don't know what that means, it just means like be in each other's space, not like too close, but be in each other's space when you're working, when everyone's just hammering, firing on all cylinders, there's something really magical about that. And the energy just transfers between everyone. And that's more than just the aerodynamics. It's that communal effort that helps everyone run well together in a pack. And that's the working together that I'm hoping that you guys will all do tomorrow.
Yeah, and I have found like when things do get a little tricky on the course, that helping, but let me put it this way, by talking to people around me, it helps distract me from the negative either thoughts or physical emotions that are happening in my own body. And like that has helped me for sure. Like I remember I ran this race a couple of years ago and I had I was fortunate to see Amelia Benton on course. People might know Amelia Benton, she's one of the best writers in our space. And she was doing like a workout. She's like just roasting me. And then she like did 2 miles on, 1 mile off. So her mile off, she would then come back to me. And I was like, this is the best. I could talk to Amelia Benton for like roughly a mile. And then I'll go back to my suffering for 2 miles. And she'll like come back to me again. As like humbling as it was to see her like shoot off into the distance. I was like, I get to talk to Amelia Benton for a mile. Like, this is great. Like my legs don't hurt almost as bad.
This is a bit of a change of topic, but I was talking to our friend Ben Johnson earlier today about how many shoes you run in and how do you even begin to, I imagine like a very complex system to make sure that you're like, most of us stumble out in the dark, throw on some shoes and get out the door. What's the Kafuzi method of keeping track of what day, what shoe?
It's, I feel safe saying this here because we already established that it is the nerdiest race, but it's an Excel sheet. And so I take the numbers from each day and I tally, you know, I have a formula, so it adds up. And so I review shoes both initially and then also to the 100-mile mark. And so if I've done a lot of new shoe reviews, then I'll look to see which ones are kind of higher in mileage to see like, okay, so next workout, I'll take that one because it's at 65 and then I could get it to 100. Or if it's a easy run, then I'll see like which daily trainer has... is closer to get to 100-mile mark on a review. So that's kind of how I pick it specifically. But generally, you know, I narrow it down initially by like, all right, what's tomorrow? Tomorrow's an easy day. So let's look at the easy day shoes and then pick from there. And then I look at the spreadsheet. So that way I can
figure out. Are these in different tabs? Do you tab it out like the easy day tab, the workout shoe tab? Like how do you, this is color coded, isn't it?
No. I try not to over like subcategorize things.
Shoes are green.
It's normally it kind of goes like from left to right, just chronologically of when I get the shoes. And so like I need to stay on the right hand side of the sheet. And We're spending a lot of time talking about my shoe spreadsheet, just curious, guys.
This is how the sausage is made. This is beautiful. I was, when I met Mike, I was so complimentary of his reels and his videos making the shoes look better than even the companies make those shoes look. And he's like, oh, it's all just editing tricks. It's just like slow-mo and speed up. But I think you really do with the cuts to the music. It makes
shoes
that otherwise are like, here it is on the wall. And you're like, no, I want to see it on Mike's feet zipping down.
Now since we're on that topic, I do have a follow-up question.
Okay.
Do you search out the puddles? Because anyone who watches your videos knows there's at least 3 to 5 puddle shots, the slow motion, the water coming up from each shoe. Do you search them out? Are there certain roads you're like, all right, that's a puddly road. That's going to be some great shooting today.
Well, we just moved out to the suburbs, so I'm not by the lakefront anymore. The lakefront was a treasure trove of water. It's just like, if it was a slightly windy day, there'd be plenty of water to run it through. Now I kind of, yes, I know where the puddle spots are. So like, I just know where the water is going to collect. So I do kind of do that on purpose. Yeah.
I love that. All right. So if you were running CIM and you had your choice of shoes, so it wasn't like a shoe company said, hey, Mike, come on out, you know, run this race with us. Yeah. And you could run this race with any shoe that's currently available. Mm-hmm. Is there a certain shoe or maybe a couple of shoes that you'd be choosing between?
Yeah, so like there's a decision tree, there's an algorithm that goes through that too. And so like a lot of times the first thing I like to do is I go matchy matchy, like is there a title sponsor for the race? And this one is ASICS, so then I'd be like, all right, is there a new ASICS shoe that I haven't finished reviewing yet? Cuz then having a race in the shoe is really helpful for the longer term review. I've already done my longer term review of the ASICS latest racing shoe, so then I would then look to like, all right, is there another shoe that maybe there isn't like a race that they are a title sponsor for? So for example, this decision tree, man, it's a good thing this is a nerdy race. So the top, it would be Metaspeed Sky Plus, but I've already finished reviewing that shoe. So the next would be like the Endorphin Elite, because I haven't raced in that shoe. And that would be a really great long run test to do for that one. So like, that's kind of how like the next step of it goes. But I did just finish reviewing that one. So then I was like, but if I had thought that I was going to race CIM, I wouldn't have finished running in that one. So that's kind of how that one goes. So that's the flow chart.
I love it. I love it.
Okay.
No, that is.
You guys really are just cool. Exposing me today. So nerdy.
Well, this is the thing is that now that we have an audience, you can't duck our questions. Yeah, like okay.
We throw. Yeah. I mean, those of you who listen to Relay, we sometimes throw passes to Mike and they just skip across and then we go, okay, we'll just edit that out. He didn't really want to go there with him. Okay. We tried to pin him in on.
All right.
No, that is great. How many people remember 2019, the 2019 CIM, the videos and the pictures that came from this race in terms of the OTQ? Do you raise your hand? Does anyone remember how that was? That was, for me, was one of like my favorite moments of like in the running community, like seeing the outlay of emotion for the people who finished that race, because it really was a magical time to see like people going after their goals. Again, just like people going for sub 3 or sub 4, seeing people do, you know, go for their best was really magical. I know tomorrow is going to be the same thing for a lot of people because the window is essentially over. I think tomorrow is it December 5th. It's officially over, but I don't think there's any Monday marathons. So we're going to see a lot of that tomorrow, which is going to be really exciting. Mike, when you think about as a videographer and spends a lot of time on this, when you have that situation where like you're filming somebody like doing amazing things like that, coming either a finish line, or you're catching live action footage, what are some things that you notice when you go back to edit it that really kind of like gets you excited for those kinds of moments and then doing the things that you do with videos that are outside of filming your own running?
Yeah, so I'm really looking for the facial expressions because I feel like that's what tells the story. And I know that there are some runners that always look effortless no matter how tired they are, and they're just not as fun for me to film. And so I love the people that are just like emoting and it just looks like they're trying so hard. I just love to see that. And that helps me to tell a visual story, helps me tell their story. But I also am always looking for ways to help show just how fast people are running. And I think that's something that gets lost so easily on television when we're watching marathons, when we're watching half marathons, even down to 10K and 5K. It just, because everyone, all the fast runners are moving the same pace together. And so it's like, it's hard to really grasp how quick it is. And so I'm always looking for kind of background, things that are either static or also moving to give a sense of like, this is how quick things are flying past. And one of the best ways that I can do that is by running alongside. And then, so I'll try to film the runners running alongside. And then I always try to turn the camera back on me really quick, because then you could see they're effortless and they've got another 20 miles to go. I've kept up for 20 seconds and I'm winded. And so like, those are the kinds of things that I'm trying to convey in the videos that I make, is just like, just how talented people are.
Has that ever gone poorly? Like the try to run next to a runner with the mic. I mean, sorry, I was like with the video, and then like either like there's people there, or like, is there like a moment where you think back like, wow, that really didn't go great?
Knock on wood, I haven't had any terrible moments. And like, New York is always a really tough one because people bring their dogs out and they're just all over the place. And so I'm running and I'm just like hoping I don't spook a dog so that it gets in my way and I get tripped up in a leash. Or I miss like, say like a mailbox or some sort of lower post, because I'm like not really looking at where I'm, you know, I'm kind of like zoning out. I have like the runners in my peripheral vision. What's ahead of me is also in my peripheral vision. I'm just trying not to bump into stuff.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because watching your New York film, I was nervous watching it. You're right behind the gate, behind the fans. And there's a lot going on there. It's New York City.
Yeah. We need you to basically do like Klaus from Berlin Marathon. To, is that right? The guy does the Kipchoge bottles?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. You need to like get a tandem bike with Klaus.
Okay. Yeah.
And then you can get all that in real time.
I mean, I feel like we are like kindred spirits, him and I. We both really are excited by fast running and we like to chase the race. That's one of my favorite things to do. And I know like, you know, there's not everyone loves it. And there are people that kind of are annoyed that people are like running alongside races these days. But whenever I do it, I always try to get out of the main camera shot. I try to like not ruin anyone else's shot, photographer, other videographer, the race camera footage or not. And so I'm not trying to get into the video. I'm just trying to make my own video. And again, do that thing where I can show how fast and how hard people are working.
Now, is there a person that you have caught on video, like as a pro runner, who's kind of like their effort level kind of matched the speed? Like you were able to say, like you mentioned before, like if someone's effortless, it's even harder to really really grasp how hard they're working. Is there someone who's you can think of that like maybe just like the effort involved in their stride is apparent on video? Because I feel like that would be interesting, because like obviously you have to be closer to the end of a race, because most, especially with a pro runner, like they're going to be effortless almost all the time. But at the same time, like I think there's some people who maybe emote a little bit more than others.
Yeah, I'd say one of my favorite people to film right now is like Connor Mance, because he just wears his pain on his face the entire time. And the way he pumps his arm, he has just like a little bit of an unorthodox like arm carry. And it just looks like he's chugging, like he's just moving along the entire time. So he's really fun to film. And I'd say like the opposite end of the spectrum is like every time I see Ed Cheserek run, it always looks like he's jogging. I filmed him at Houston and he looked like he was like on an easy run, but he also ran like a 61. And so I'm just like, for the half marathon, I'm like, how is this possible? It just makes it look so effortless.
Yeah. One, I know maybe you haven't videoed him, but he's here this weekend. It's Luis Horta. Mm-hmm. I think he does. Knows Luis Horta. You should look him up on Instagram. There's some great videos of him. And he is one of those, like, you can tell he's getting like every ounce of every little bit out of his running, which is like so fun to see. Who was the runner that he ran with out in E10?
Paul Chelimo.
Paul Chelimo. There's like this epic video. He's leading Paul Chelimo on these intervals. And Chelimo is like the exact opposite. He's like, looks great at every speed. Call him the anti-Matt Chittum. And he's like just cruising. And Luis Horta's in front, looking like he's giving 195%. And like every time this video crops up on the internet, whether it's Instagram or on YouTube, there's always these people like, oh my God, look at this guy in front of Paul Chelimo. He just needs to work on his form. He looks like he's trying so hard. He's like, this guy has like a 212 marathoner. I think his form is fine.
Poor guy.
That's just a good example of like, there are so many different ways of running in like the form perspective. I think we've all seen like people who, you know, run the same speed but have different form, but ultimately it doesn't matter. Peter, you've been a student of the sport for a long time. You've run with so many elite runners. Is there a certain person that you love to like, that you love to watch running, either whether it's in person as someone who's trained with a lot of these people, or, you know, from afar?
You got to answer. I'm blanking. Who is it that? Oh man,
we're live, Peter. You gotta.
Yeah, there's a certain pro. Now I'm totally blanking on who it is that just always looks. Oh, I can't come up. Oh, because there's one right answer and I can't remember right now. I'm blanking on the spot. I'm going to throw it back at you.
No, I think my favorite person to watch is the person we talked to today. And that's CJ Albertson. And I think like watching him race is always like, for me, is like this tour de force. Cause you know, it's like, he kind of has that vibe. Like you can see the effort in the run. And at the same time, he just goes for it. So I feel like whether we've seen him at Boston, whether we've seen him at the trials last time, like he just goes for it right from the start. And he's one of those guys who, even in those broadcasts, you could tell, like, this guy is, like, working hard. And, like, it almost humanizes it a little bit. Because, like you said, like, it's so hard to see how athletic professional athletes are on camera. No matter what sport it is. Like, if you're not up close with them, you can't see the speed, the power, even the grace at some sports. Whereas with certain people, like it does shine through a little bit. And I think CJ is definitely one of those guys, not only from like the form perspective, but also the way he races, because it does indicative of the.
I would call him a fan favorite, but he's also, there's a lot of haters. And that's kind of what makes it wonderful. Like I would say every time he bolts to the front, you know, some of us, myself included, are like, this is awesome. This is exactly what I want to see. And other friends are texting me like, what an idiot again. And you're like, hey man, if you're telling me if you could lead the Boston Marathon for a half hour, you would not do that. So pushes people. It's like, it's good to have controversy like we were discussing earlier.
Right. Now, I had a friend of mine from Rhode Island who led the Boston Marathon for like a quarter of a mile.
Oh, yeah.
It was great. Maybe with me, it was 10 minutes. Bronson Venable. This is before they had like the elite corrals. Like it was more wide open. This was like 10 or 12 years ago. Bronson Venable led the Boston Marathon for about a quarter of a mile.
So his kids could see him on TV.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, he was a real runner. This guy's like legit. And he, like, even he could only stay out there for just a little bit of time.
Just so. Mike, I'm curious. You've had such an epic year, 2023. What races, not necessarily are coming up, but what's on your bucket list of like things that you'd really like to get to that other people might think about?
I'd like to finish my 6 stars in 2024. So that way, my other goal after that is to become one of the first 7-star finishers once the 7th gets added. And so to do that, I got to be ready in 2020. So hopefully 2024. I don't have a bid for London or Berlin, but you know, I'm just going to put it out there. Hopefully we'll find a way.
Maybe if there's someone around.
A bib might magically appear somehow. And so we'll figure that out later. But hopefully I can get those 2 runs, taken care of. And I've never raced either of those, clearly. But I mean, it's also 2 places where I feel like the running culture is going to be very unique, but equally as like frenzied. So I'm excited to see what racing and running in those 2 cities is like.
And when you go to a race like that where you don't know if you're ever going to be able to go back, how do you balance the idea of like trying to run as, you know, the best race you possibly can versus enjoying the experience of that entire race weekend, maybe even the filming of the race? Because even if just the enjoyment of the race weekend, that can be so, you know, so time consuming and can be so draining that it doesn't necessarily lead to the kind of race result that maybe being more hermit-like can leave you with.
Yeah, I like to think of it as I kind of have to pick. And so, like, do I want to run hard and have fun? Or do I want to, like, race for a PR? Because I think, like, my behavior would slightly change on that. So that way, like, I would get off my feet a little bit earlier than I might like to. I might not try out and venture some of the local restaurants and some of the local experiences as much. But I also like to balance that with, you know, like, I think that if you go and stress yourself out about being too much off your feet, that's also like you can like outstress yourself in that kind of way. So like, you know, you're there to experience it. And I feel like a relaxed runner, even if maybe they spend 30 minutes too much on their feet, is better than one who's been like, I gotta focus because I came all the way over here to race my PR in this fast Berlin course. And so I can't leave this hotel room ever. I feel like that's also not going to lead to a great result.
Now, do you have any non-marathon, either road races or trail races that are also on the bucket list?
I love running trails. I don't love racing on trails because a lot of times it means you have to run at night. And I just don't like to run at night. There's lots of running adventures that I'd like to do. I'd like to experience trail running in lots of different countries, but not so much on like a kind of like a race perspective. I really like the like kind of multi-day running tours where you run a little bit and then you hang out. Someone else drives your luggage around kind of thing. It's not cheap, but it's super fun. And it's for me, I like to experience running trails that way. So I don't think I have too many like bucket list trail races, but I have a lot of places that I'd love to go experience on the trail.
I was curious if you could switch over to your YouTube channel, which okay. I think a lot of us have been suggested. If you've clicked on one running video on YouTube, then the next one that's recommended is probably from Mike Cafuzzi. And I went a while admiring your videos without knowing about Cafuzzi Run Club. So the live streams, I was curious if you could just tell us maybe the audience a little more about when you started the live stream. And Cafuzzi Run Club seems like it's getting bigger and bigger. So like, the state of things seems just enormous. So like, tell us about that.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And it started out during the pandemic when like a lot of us just couldn't get together for our normal group runs. And it was a way, I mean, for a long time, I just thought like, you know, live stuff's kind of overrated. I'm not super interested in it. Like the video quality's bad. I'm like, I'm watching a dude read chats online. Like, why do I want to do that? But I found that like during the pandemic, we were all really lonely and we didn't have that normal way of connecting with people. And so I just started doing Instagram lives at first, and that eventually became YouTube live streams. And people started tuning in because like they were working from home. They couldn't go out. They couldn't run with their normal run groups or not as much as they wanted to. And so it was a way for us to kind of get like that residual like collective runner nerd energy out. And so and to talk about the things that like, you know, maybe our family members, their eyes might gloss over if you talk too much about, you know, there's like a perfect audience for that. And that ended up being like the Cafuzzi Run Club. And so we ended up finding each other and finding ways to just kind of talk about running a lot of times and also talk not about running a lot of times too. And so it just became like its own virtual run club, which is not what I intended to do. I always thought that like, all right, once we're back into like regular times and we're running with our regular run groups again, it would no longer have a need. But people have become friends there. They're meeting, they're traveling, and some of them are running the relay together. They never met each other, but they're like, hey, I want to do the relay. Does anyone else want to? And so they're becoming teammates. They're traveling to meet each other and run races in each other's cities. And it's really becoming a source of community. And the people that are there is what's making it great. I'm just kind of the steward, but they're making the community and making it a really fun place for us all to hang out.
That's a good point, because when I'm on the live stream and just like in the chat, I feel like it's always a lot of the same people that are like they have like a side conversation going like while you're doing the live stream, like they could be talking about something completely different. And it's like, they're just, you know, involved in their completely separate thing. It's almost like a divorce message board from what's happening on the video screen. And like, I think this is like, it's always such a great sign of like, look at this community. Like, it really is something else.
Yeah. And so like people have like, there's times when I'm like traveling. This week I was at the running event and then I'm here in Sacramento. And there's times when I go through long breaks where I'm not doing the live stream and there people are like, can you just turn it on and let us chat? Because we still are used to, because a lot of people are doing it at work. And so like, they're still working. They're very productive, but they're having it kind of as like a side screen. And so like they're used to like that 1 o'clock central time. That's when they kind of get a chance to have that regular like communion time with this, with all of their other running friends or their virtual running friends. And so like, that's again, like you were saying, Matt, like another sign of strong community is that like, it's not like me driven. It's not like everyone's there to come like watch me unbox a new pair of shoes or a new outfit from Rabbit. That's all happens there too, but they can also be there and have those side conversations with each other. And have that their own little space where they can do those things. Just like in a group run, you might have multiple small conversations between a couple of different pace groups that are on that Thursday night run.
I'm curious. So we know you do shoes well. How are you doing on highlighting apparel? I know you did Aaron Azar's like flat. How's it going there?
You know, like apparel is harder because it's bigger. Like I'm very much set up for something that's about this big. Like the size of a shoe, and I can shoot that well. Things that are bigger are a little harder. Sometimes you have to iron stuff, and it requires a little bit more attention to detail than I like to give. So I'm a really great like 8/10 effort guy. Like if something requires like absolute precision and super meticulousness, then I'm a little bit.
You take the 80/20 rule to every area of your life.
Yeah. I'm very good at the 80, and I'm also very good at ignoring the 20. And so like apparel is something that I enjoy, and I'm trying to find other ways to kind of like talk about and review those kinds of things, but not in as like kind of like structured of a way that I might do for shoes. Cause you know, apparel, a lot of it too is like, it's subjective in terms of fit and materials and what feels soft and what feels comfortable or does or doesn't chafe for people. And so like, those are things that I kind of do differently. And those are kind of just more like, it'll show up in like the action shots and you could see me like running in the apparel, but like shooting it in like a studio, I'm not just interested in that.
All right. Do you want to say anything before we get going?
No, I want to say after this, make sure you guys get some food and get off your feet. I'm not like, it's okay if you don't get off your feet right away. Be chill about it, but put your feet up, relax, and get cool. Some rest. Yeah, be cool.
Right. That's it. Everybody, thank you so much for coming to CIM this year, to all the live shows, to Mike right now, and best of luck to all of you tomorrow. We can't wish you enough good luck.